Welcome, everyone. My name is Joel Wright, and I am the host of Devon Dice, the podcast. This is episode 38, recorded on Wednesday, the 4th of November, 2017.
It's October, Joel.
Why did I put November? You saw me typing it.
I just read it. I was just like, oh, no, that's right.
Oh, my God.
What? It's October.
It's because we were talking about November earlier. I just had it in my head. Right. Welcome, everyone. My name is Joel Wright, and I'm the host of Devon Dice, the podcast. This is episode 38, recorded on Wednesday, the 4th of October, 2017. It's also episode 39, not 38. I really don't know what's going on in my head, but that's it. And joining me on the podcast tonight is...
Sam!
Woo-hoo. Yay!
On tonight's show, we talk about lots of games, well, Joel does, and lots of news and Kickstarters. And as always, thanks goes to the show sponsor, meeplescorner.co.uk.
Yeah, thanks, Sam, for making me spend my money. Anyway, no. So, Life and Times of Devon Dice, the podcast, has been a bit janky, to say the least. So last month, we missed out the mid-month one. I don't know if anyone cared. I lost track of what was going on in the month and realised it was a bit too late to record one. So I kind of thought, just wait until the new year. And then Monday of the first of the month came around really quickly, by all accounts. So, yeah. So me and Sam's just quickly sitting down to get this first one in. And Sam's just come back off holiday.
So yeah, yeah.
And, devoted to the cause.
Ah, yes, that's it. Flew in Monday and couldn't wait to get on the podcast. Yeah. Well, because I've been playing.
Your missus is thinking the same thing as.
Yeah. Well, I've not been playing any games for the last 2 weeks, and that's kind of cheered her up a bit, I suppose. But it's a nice holiday. I got to play golf rather than board games, so that was still nice. It's nice playing golf on a course that has nobody else on it is quite a wonderful experience, I have to say.
So lonely.
Yeah, but I tell you what, it's sometimes the way I play, I'm glad there's no one hanging around. You know, I can get away with putting down whatever I like for my score, and no one cares.
Oh, I'm scratch. I've been scratch all holiday.
Yeah. I tell you, it wasn't too bad on my. I think it's my third round. I pretty much legitimately only. I was playing like my own kind of version of a form of the game called like Canadian Foursomes, but you're meant to play with four people in two pairs. But it's obviously just me going around, so it didn't quite work. But when you're playing with a pair in those types of games, what you do is you each take turns from the same spot. So you'd both drive, and then you pick which of the two drives you want to use, and then you both hit a ball from that spot, and then you do the same again and the same again. So I was kind of doing that for myself, at least for the first few holes, because I hadn't played in... I don't know, 18 months or something since the last time I was on holiday at that same hotel, in fact. And so I thought, well, I'll give myself a bit of a chance to, you know, not have an embarrassing score. So I thought, well, I'll hit two off the tee and pick which one's the best and that kind of stuff. But on the third round, I shot a 75, which was only four over par, which is easily my best ever round of golf ever.
Nice.
Four over par.
That's just bad.
I've got a handicap. Well, when I quit playing golf properly, when I quit my membership, I was playing off a handicap of 17. So in theory, I should have been, you know, by my handicap, I should be 17 over par. So yeah, I was 13 shots under my handicap that day, which was pretty epic. That was I had a really good holiday
nice.
While Megan was sitting around in the sun. So I was hooning around on a golf buggy all to myself. It was wonderful. But yeah, anyway, yeah.
And where was that? Where did you go?
Gran Canaria.
Nice.
So it's a hotel. It's up in the mountains rather than on the beach. So it's really secluded on the top of this mountain. Glorious, really nice. It's a 5-star hotel stuck in the middle of the mountains. It's just brilliant. It was a bit more expensive this time around because of the pound being so crap. And there wasn't a special deal. This is our third time there, and the last two times we got special deals, so it was quite cheap. Well, cheaper, and this time around it was quite a lot more expensive. But a good chunk of that was just because the pound's so pants compared to the euro at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. But no, it's a really nice hotel, and the fact that I can just hoon around playing golf while Megan's lounging on a giant sunbed, you know, we both have a very relaxing time basically. which is probably why I'm back on the diet wagon right now. After I could literally feel the difference in my belt loop count from the start to the end of the holiday, and it is embarrassing. So I'm pretty much back to square one from where I started about 18 months ago. So I'm back on the calorie count now.
Nice.
So
So yes, and the only exciting thing I done in the time is put up Kallikak shelves for my board games.
You've joined the IKEA club.
Yeah, and it, I, do you know what? Yeah, I've followed a sheet, but they work so well with holding board games that I can't crumble with it. And you can format it to however, whatever size you need to fit into and how you want it to work. So I'm happy, and it looks actually really nice now. It's all been sorted out. So I'm now slowly emptying them. Because I'm selling out quite a lot of games, because of
I noticed you had a few up on the Facebook group and stuff like that. So making getting a bit of cash ready.
Yeah, well, I've already got the cash, just freeing up some more after paying out my pre-order for a certain game, which we'll come to. Anyway, so bookkeeping. What happened to Podcast 36? I hear everyone say. No. No one's saying that. Well,
insert cricket sound.
You look at the feed and Podcast 36 is missing. We just got mixed up with our numbers. So it's not that you've missed one. I just didn't do one. Unhinged number 3 is out. Me and Lewis on a roll with that. It's quite easy doing a random talk show at the end of each month. So mainly Lewis on it this time because I had a stinking cold and was dying throughout. So listen to that. Actually, there was a lot of talk about board games on there because he was talking about Essen and what I'm pre-ordering. And we talked about Downforce. So, yeah, there's a bit more board game than normal. My Godfather Corleone's Empire board game review has been updated with pictures and some added-on bits. So you can check out that. And then Downforce review is out already, so you can go along and read that. So yes, pretty good. Meeple Corner stuff. So Meeple's Corner has got a few games days coming up in end of October 28th. I can't attend, unfortunately. I'm in some place called Essen, I think it is.
Joel's disappeared.
Oh, have I? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
You just you just disappeared. It's like
No. So yeah, I was just saying, Meeple's Corner's game day in Crediton at the Crediton Town Hall on the 28th of October from 12 till late. So you can go there and have fun playing lots of games while the rest of us are out in Germany buying more games. And then he's also got the first Pegasus Spiel Gaming Day on the 25th of November, 12 till 5 at the shop, where he's going to have some preview Pegasus Spiel games come in for us to try out and play.
Cool. I'll be there, even though Joel will be swanning it up in Essen. You can come round and give me some grief instead of Joel doing it.
Yeah, I might do some live like Facebooking. On that Saturday morning, if people can get internet and tune in and see what it's like from that. So, yeah. Do you want to do top set fives and sales from
Absolutely.
Dealer? I mean, games dealer? I mean, game seller?
Yeah, so literally today, hot off the press, Christoph at Meeple's Corner has given us the top 5 of September. So the top 5 sales running from 5 to 1. Number 5 was This War of Mine. Continuing to be very popular despite its high price. Number 4 is Downforce, which you can read the review for on the blog. Number 3 is Whitehall Mystery, which I believe is the sequel to Letters from Whitechapel.
Yep.
Number 2, Wasteland Express Delivery Service, which is the new game from Pandasaurus. And number 1 is the expansion for Terraforming Mars, Hellas and Elysium. So no surprise there, considering Christoph sold bucket loads of Terraforming Mars. They've all come flocking back to pick up the expansion as well.
Yeah, Wasteland Express is one I really want to play.
Yeah, I nearly pre-ordered it from Pandasaurus when they first put the artwork and everything up, and they were running like the sort of designer blogs and stuff. I was like, oh, this looks really, really good. I like this. I love the artwork and everything.
Yeah.
And then they released how much they put the pre-orders up and saying, oh, you're going to get all this special stuff because you're pre-ordering it. But the cost to get it to Europe was going to be more than the game. So it was going to be like $116 to deliver it to the UK. And it was
just
like, oh. And that meant we weren't going to get some of the stuff that they were doing for pre-orders, right? So one of the things that was going to be in the pre-order box was going to be the what's the name of the company that makes the game trays vacuum insert.
Right.
That was going to be a pre-order only thing, but I think they got so much stick from everyone else in the world that they weren't going to be able to get this stuff that they basically just said, ah, screw it, we'll just put it in the thing and make the game more expensive.
Right.
So yeah, so that's where you get the really snazzy game trays inserts for Wasteland Express. So, which, if you don't know what they are, that's basically the same sort of thing as you had with Mechs versus Minions. So they're really sort of really well designed and well formed kind of inserts to make the box fit really nicely. So, yeah, I quite like the look of it though. It's I like pick up and deliver as a mechanic, and it looks like that's a fairly nice thematic-y, really good artwork type one. So that doesn't take like 4 hours like Merchant of Venus or something. So yeah, I might. I'd like to try it. I'm not sure I could quite justify buying it now, but I'd certainly play it if someone was to present me with a copy at game night one night.
Definitely.
And you've played Downforce, obviously. I'm keen to give that a crack because I'm interested about restoration games. I'm interested in all of them so far.
Yeah.
Most notably Fireball Island when they launched a Kickstarter for that. That might be dangerous for my wallet. Especially given what we're going to talk about in a minute.
Wasn't that meant to be launching this month? Was it?
It is launching this year, isn't it? Or is it next year? I can't remember.
I've lost track. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, they've announced four more as well. They've said that they're working on four more games as well,
really?
But they haven't. They've just given code names for it. Like one of them's called Wallace, for instance, and everyone's kind of like trying to. There's a
trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think it was on the Dice Tower Guild on BGG, someone had posted the four and was getting people to try and guess what they were. And the one that's called Wallace, they reckon, might be a remake of Mousetrap, which would be interesting. Because Wallace and Gromit, cheese, more cheese, Gromit, Mousetrap.
Yeah, they won't have Mousetrap because Hasbro has that. That's
yeah, well, exactly. But it depends. I don't know. Has it been made recently? I don't know.
Yeah, it has. It's a real cut down version now.
Oh,
of Mousetrap.
No, yeah, well, it's Hasbro, isn't it? So it's probably made from sort of really thin cardboard as opposed to
probably
really nice.
I mean,
plastic.
It's like the system that works now just really like small compared to the last thing that goes on for a century kind of thing. It's like come on.
We'll see. So the top five pre-orders. Number five is Raiders of the North Sea. So we've spoken about that one,
surprised.
Or I have anyway, quite a lot. Yeah, I'm quite surprised. I'm a little bit surprised, but pleasantly surprised that it's been pre-ordered so heavily. But I think it's just because of the limited release, and it was actually quite an expensive game when it was on Kickstarter because it was coming from New Zealand. Mm. So maybe I can't remember what Christoph's charging for it, but I'd imagine it's relatively reasonable given it's a Renegade game. Mm. Number four is Queen Domino, the follow-up to King Domino. So that's quite an interesting one. That's continuing to... Well, I think, again, it's a good value game, isn't it? It's like 20 quid.
I wonder whether this Queen Domino was meant to be what King Domino was in the first place, but they decided to cut down Queen Domino
maybe.
To make King Domino really simple.
Yeah, maybe. So. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that one turns out, because obviously King Domino is quite popular.
Yeah.
Number three... The march to colonise Mars continues with Terraforming Mars Venus next. So that's the second main expansion for Terraforming Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Nussfjord, which is that the new Uwe Rosenberg game?
Yes, yeah.
Where you're basically fishing in a fjord.
Yeah, and I think it's the same things as Feast of Odin.
Right, yeah.
So
okay.
It's using the polyhedron. I might be completely wrong. I think it's the same... Along the same lines, but
yeah,
differently.
Maybe slightly smaller than I'd hope, perhaps. I'll have a look in a minute. I remember it being a really boring-looking cover, so I thought, yeah, it must be Uwe Rosenberg. And then number one is the game that's tipped to be the next big Ticket to Ride-esque thing, Photosynthesis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested to try that one.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to think that's the
second
coming.
I'm thinking of picking it up at Essen. Depends on the price. If it's stupid money... then I'm going to contradict myself in a minute, but I'll just wait until Christoph gets it in. But I mean, if it's okay-ish, then I'll say, okay, I'll get one here. So, yeah.
Yeah. I am kind of maybe wrong about Nussfjord as well, because it rates 20 to 100 minutes. So maybe it's not.
No, by the look of the box, it looks the same thickness and density as Feast of Odin. So.
Yeah, so it looks like it's... I don't know if it's the same... Doesn't look as massively complex looking at the board on BGG. It's a very small picture, but
But I think it looks like the box looks like it's the same thickness and density of what Feast of Odin was.
Mm.
So I don't know.
Uwe Rosenberg, so it'll be a big chunky game, whatever. So if you're into Uwe Rosenberg's games, you'll probably like Nussfjord as well, I'd have thought.
Yeah. Cool. So that was everything we've got to say about that. So straight on to the news. So, first in the news, Plaid Hat announces a standalone expansion to Spectre Ops, Broken Covenant. So this is, I have to admit, I really like Spectre Ops. I've still got it, and haven't played it for ages. So this is interesting because it's standalone, but you can mix it together. So have you played Spectre Ops?
I played Spectre Ops. I owned it. I bought it from Chris and played it twice and traded it.
Didn't like it?
No, I liked it well enough. I think I like the idea. I mean, I don't like cooperative games. Anyone who's listened to the show for any amount of time will know that I'm not a fan of cooperative games. So in theory... a one versus many game should be more my kettle of fish. Mm. So I went through a phase of trying several different one versus many style games, and Spectre Ops was one of them because I thought the theme looked great. It looked fabulous on the table. You know, it's a really gorgeous board and all the rest of it. And I did like it, but it was one of those games where you'd want to be the person, you'd want to be the solo player, not one of the hunters. And when you're a hunter, you're basically... The team of hunters is subject to the same alpha player type situation. So it's
and you're more
really...
or less kind of just dragnetting, aren't you, to find out where they are.
It's a really good two-player game. I wouldn't want to play it with any more, or if I did, I'd want to be the person trying to hide and infiltrate, not the hunters. So I wasn't a giant fan of it, I have to admit. But I loved the theme of it and the concept of it and all and everything. So the last on my list to try is going to be Fury of Dracula for that same thing.
Right.
But again, because of the cost of it and my current failing of trying to find a one versus many game that I like, I'm not sure it's worth punting for that on, you know, it goes for like 80 quid a throw, doesn't it, at the moment? So yeah we'll see. But no, I it's going to be more the same, isn't it? The sequel to...
Yeah, it's just... I think it is. It's the same. Different board layout, different characters. I was a bit surprised in the first one that you couldn't have, like, the characters just mix up because, like, you didn't really know who was good or bad. Didn't really make any difference. They're all kind of very individual. And I was just like, well, surely, like, some of these hunters could actually just be whatever they are, agents. I can't remember the other term. And vice versa. And you can just have, like, a... kind of random mix up, and it kind of brings out the longevity of the game. I don't know, maybe, but
yeah,
but like you could take some of these characters and use it in the other one and mix it in, and vice versa. So it's cool. I don't, as I like you, I don't know if I will pick this up until I think, yeah, actually, this will be good or not. But so yes, cool. Small World gets bigger, with the Skylands expansion. So this seems like it's like the River Worlds expansion. So it's new maps. But I think it is bringing in some new races and powers. Yeah, 7 new races and powers will be available in this new expansion. New races as well as previously released races will now have opportunity to fight and control for different territories in the sky. So that's quite cool. I love Small World.
I do. I think we talked about it before where I played the app of it first and didn't understand what on earth I was doing and went, no, this is terrible. I'm never playing it again. And then I played the board game grudgingly. Nick brought it along and I had nothing else to do. So I was just like, okay, yeah, fine. All right, I'll play it. And absolutely loved it. So it shows you should never judge by the iOS book cover, and I would happily own a copy myself and hoover up all the expansions, but pretty much everybody in my group's got it. I think Nick's got it, yeah, Murray's got
I've
it.
Got it.
I've got it. Darren, my mate's kid Darren's got it, and it's just like, oh. So I can't justify having it myself.
No.
But I would happily, it's one of those games that I would, it almost feels like a collection essential.
Yeah.
As an area control type game, I think it's fab. It's the perfect weight game for me. So I've not played with any of the expansions yet, though. So I'm keen to give that a go. So
I'm excited. Yes, you're getting quite a lot in this. Actually, I'm reading through the list. You're getting, I mean, like the River World one, was quite small. It's just a board and a few tokens. This, you're getting double-sided game board, 7 fantasy race banners. So more races, 94 marching race tokens. I don't know what those are. 4 lost tribe tokens, 5 zeppelin burning region tokens, 5 trade pack tokens, 3 transforming dragon tokens, 2 lightning bolt tokens, 2 cannon tokens, 2 access points to skylands tokens, 1 end token, 1 summary sheet token. So. Sounds
it feels like a full game.
It does feel like a game. And I think this Skylands is actually going to be a sideboard. There's 2 access points to Skyland tokens. So I reckon there's a point that you can play like normal land and then be able to reach the Skylands from it somewhere.
Yeah, because looking at the Skylands board, it looks like it is a small sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's only got a few little sectors on it, so...
Seems like a small side on map, which sounds quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Well up to try that.
Definitely. Yuri Rosenberg, he's back. And he's doing his old Polyomino. Is that right? Polyomino?
Polyomino, yeah.
Polyomino. Niche thing again with Indian Summer. So this is kind of a sequel to Cottage Garden in a way. But it's not. It's using the same technique, but in this you are trying to cover up one main board with polyomino shaped tokens. But some of these tokens have holes in it, so you're trying to position the holes over treasure points. I think it was saying.
Looks like mushrooms and stuff.
Yeah, to gain stuff. So it looks quite neat. I've seen.
Especially an autumnal version, isn't it? It looks like it's more of a kind of less of a garden and more of a kind of like nature
forest
type
isn't
thing.
It?
Yeah, like forest. Yeah. So looks kind of fun. Yeah, looks nice. I mean, I like Cottage Garden. It's nice. It's a nice light game.
This one's meant to be a bit more heavier,
right? Yeah,
a bit
more
gamery, but still 15 to 60 minutes. That's not bad, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's perfect, honey. There's tokens with foxes, so if you like animals, there's tokens with foxes on them as well. So rather than cats, you get foxes and squirrels. That woohoo!
Yeah,
squirrel tokens, fox tokens, acorns. Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
If you're going to Essen, keeps coming up. You can, and you really want to get hold of Charterstone, the new Stagmire.
Stonemaier. Yeah.
His name's Stagmaier. Stonemaier game of Legacy. You can go along to Madagot and pre-order a copy and pick it up at Essen. And this will be a month and a half before the actual one hits the stores. Interesting facts with it. I pre-ordered. But the trouble is, it's costing nearly €80.
What?
Yes.
Well,
the RIP is €70. I think Christoph has it in his shop for about 55. I'm sure Sam will be doing a quick search. But here, because Madicott's, air freighting in a bulk of it from China to Essen, it's costing extra. It's costing them like 10 to 15 euros per unit to ship in. So they've put the price on top and said, yeah, we need to get this money back. You can go into a German one and order the German copy. How much?
Oh no, I went to just to fill you in. I clicked on the link in the script, went to the Matigo website where it's got a thing. Clicked on the buy with PayPal.
Yeah.
Which takes you through to the Matigo shop, basically, for the pre-order page. And when I first clicked on it, it said €66, and I was just like, oh. And then when you said how much it was, I was just like, that doesn't make sense. Hang on a minute. So I clicked on it again because I closed the tab, and now it's gone up to €79.90.
That's right. Oh,
but it did. I promise you, it was 60-something when I first read it. Christoph is selling it for £56.95.
Yeah, I thought so.
So, yeah,
it's a bit of a markup, but I don't know. I'm sticking with my pre-order at the minute. But there's still stuff available. You can still go there. If you want it a month and a half early, I mean, that's the price you pay for air shipping it in and being a sucker.
And there's something to be said for, you know, you go to a fair like Essen, and it's a bit like at the UK Games Expo. Everyone thinks you're going to get bargains. You're not going to get bargains, but you're going to get the nice feeling of going away with something in your hands that you're like, yes, I've got it. No. So, and that's really what it's about. So as long as it's not, you know, as long as they're not taking the mickey, then
they always say it, like these shows, you're going to pay almost retail price for the game because they need to pay for their stall being there. And basically, if they can sell all their games, they might make a bit of profit. But they're just there to sell their games and get it out there. And I don't know, a month and a half early before others, I don't know, probably could have it done by then and be happy. I don't know, doubt it. You can still go along, still available. You can get it French and English. Or as I was saying, if you can read German, you don't mind having German, you can go to another website, Freudeland store, and you can get it for €70 from them because they're sucking up the cost of air freight. And this is all from Jamie Stebmer as well, because I put a lovely bit on The Geek saying, oh yeah, pre-orders are open, you can go here and get it. And then some guys come in and goes, what? $25, €25 more than I can pay in a shop. I'm not paying that. I'm boycotting everything Manicott sells now. Oh, I'm had enough of this kind of thing. And then Jamie's coming and goes, it's not the correct attitude to have when they're actually paying for it to be shipped over for your convenience to have it early. But yeah. It's up to you.
You pay your money, takes your choice. Yeah, if you don't want to pay it, you don't pay it. It's fine.
Not forcing you to pay the money to buy it there and then. You can wait until December. So
yeah, I always find that kind of attitude just a little bit odd. It's like a kind of moral indignation, even though you clearly aren't going to bother buying it anyway, but now on principle you're not going to buy it. It's just, what? It's just, yeah, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. So, yeah, don't understand it. But no, that's great. No, good for you. I mean, I've pre-ordered, I sent you all the details, didn't I? I've got to double check this 15 times before you go now. I've pre-ordered Tokyo Highway, which is going to be one of those really, well, it is hard to get hold of here. So, I was delighted to see that, is it Japan brand? Yeah, it's Japan brand, isn't it? They had Tokyo Highway to pre-order for Essen. So I think you pay when you pick it up. So I must remind me to give you the money before you go.
All right.
So yeah, I've got to give you the money. It's like £30 or something, isn't it? But
yeah,
I'll sort that out. But I had a good plow through. I've got my Essen list to double check through. But I think that's probably the only thing I'm going to get. So I'm trying to be a bit more restrained.
A couple more. I actually ordered Meeple Circus off of Matagot as well at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And then I've ordered Coaster Park, which is a Pandasaurus game. Have I ordered any others? Don't think so. Except for a couple of Kickstarters. But
if I didn't have anything else lined up and I hadn't just backed something on Kickstarter, I might have been tempted with the giant Takenoko. I might have got you to pick that up for me. But no,
that it could be dangerous elsewhere. If they've got the giant flick 'em up there, that could be dangerous. Yeah. So
they do have a giant flick 'em up there. They'll have a stand there where they make you put cowboy hats on and play giant flick 'em up. That certainly was there when I was there 2 years ago, so it wouldn't surprise me if they've got that there as well.
I hope that's all they do. I don't want to buy one.
They got like Giant King of Tokyo and all those sorts of things as well. So everything's super size.
Yeah.
It's great.
Cool. Right, let's get on with what we played. So how much did you play?
Bugger all for 3 weeks now. I missed last week's game night because I was away on holiday. The week before that, I can't remember exactly what it was. I think I probably just felt knackered.
Stumped for work, I think.
Oh yeah, that's right. I had a really late working session, so I and when I got home, I was just absolutely knackered and would have had to go pretty much right out the door. So I was just like, oh, I'm going to pass this week. So basically, I haven't played any games for 2 and a bit weeks. So I did go to game night last night, and we had a bit of a dungeon crawl session because I got there and Nick and a couple others were there. They were just started playing Order of the Gilded Compass, and I sat around waiting, thinking, well, I could have jumped in with them, but I thought, no, I'll wait because someone else might turn up and I'll play with them then. It took about 45 minutes for anyone else to turn up and us to get going with anything. Nick was like, oh, this is only take 20 minutes.
Yeah.
An hour later. So me, Gary, and Gary's friend from work, Tom, new guy, we played Dungeon Roll for 20 minutes, which I quite like. It's fine. It's a little dice rolling game. It's quite an old one now.
Just sold my copy.
Have you?
I had a Kickstarter version.
Oh, I quite like it. I like the fact that it's in a little chest, and when you pick treasure, you're delving into the chest to get the treasure and stuff. I quite like it. It's very light and simple and everything.
Yeah.
But it was kind of nice just to waste some time. And then after we finished that, Gary says, oh, what have you brought? And last night I'd taken Manhattan Project Energy Empire, which is still my favourite game of the year. I'd taken Coal Baron, which is on my list to trade possibly for Lewis and Clark. Someone's offered me for it, so I wanted to play that again to see if I wanted to get rid of it. And I also took Clank, and we ended up playing Clank because it was basically a nice follow-on straight from Dungeon Roll. So I got to play Clank again, which is great. And nice. I played with a reverse board, so we didn't play with even though it was Tom's first game, we played with the reverse board, so the slightly more advanced board, for the first time. And really good. I just love Clank, man. It's such brilliant. A good game. I can't wait for Clank in Space now as well. It's such a good game. I've even got friend of the show, John. He is putting together his version 2 of his box insert in foam core, which he's building, and he said I can have it.
Nice.
So he's basically making me a box insert for Clank and the expansion, so it fits in the box better. So
was that fit both boards as well, is it?
Yeah, fits both boards. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's such a good game. I love it. Mm. And we've talked about Clank ad nauseum. I'm sure everyone that's listening has probably played it or
don't
knows
care.
About it.
We are
and
changing
care
the podcast.
Anymore.
Podcast name is going to be Devon Clank.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's sickening. But I kind of feel bad a little bit because every time I play it, I'm now fully expecting to win. I've got I've played it 7 times since I got my own copy, and I've won 5 of those games now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's good.
Cool. Right, so I'm going to whiz through my games because we're on a bit of a time meter. So I picked up Rhino Hero Super Battles. That just popped up. Picked it up and instantly played it with the kids. Kids absolutely love it, and adults absolutely love it. It is Rhino Hero on steroids. If you played Rhino Hero, it's basically stacking cards as high as you can, and you might have to move Rhino Hero up. And then it all falls down and someone loses. In this, you are kind of doing it, but it's on a bigger scale. And you've got these big, long cards. And you've got different size walls. And you basically, you pick a card to play down. And you have to arrange the walls, put the card on top. And then you roll the dice. And you move one of the characters. You move your character as high as the dice allows you to. And then you might come across another character that's up on the same level, and then you roll off against them, and it's fun, and it's 10 times better than Rhino Hero because this is 3D. Because like Rhino Hero, the original one, just felt 2D because you're just going up. That's all you can do. In Rhino Hero Super Battles, you 3D, you're expanding out. There's floors coming out from different angles and weird positions, and it looks amazing when it starts building up, and once it collapses, it's a good collapse as well. So kids love it, and I said adults love it as well. So yeah, it's a shame it's just not widely available in the UK really. It was Thirsty Meeples that had it, so I thought, all right, I'll give it a try. So yeah, it's definitely a stayer. And the other bad thing, the box is way too big for what it needs to be. That
course.
Box is ridiculously stupid. And I'm actually thinking of cannibalising it to make it into a more travelable box because it's just stupidly big. It's like the old, it's like a Monopoly box, you know, it's long elongated rectangle boxes. It's like that. It just doesn't fit anywhere, and you can't. Just going to say,
doesn't fit in your nice Kallax shelves now.
No, it doesn't, and it doesn't fit in my bag either. And I was just like, what am I going to do with this? So I'm going to have to look into getting whistle stop. Pick this up from Christoph. Pick up and deliver. Train game. Real simple actions to do. You either play a call down on one of your four actions, and you move your one of your trains up or down or to the left of the board, so to the west if you're going by north, south, east, west. Or you play a whistle, which allows you to go backwards or jump two spaces and jump over people. So it's got this kind of blocking mechanic. You can get in the way of people. You're trying to pick up goods, so every time you land on a stop, you get a resource, or if you land on a special stop, you can do some special actions or get stock. Stock is really simple. It's basically, if you've got the most of that type of stock, you get 15 points at the end of the game. That's it. So that's really nice. And then you can get to the other end. If you get all the way to west and you've got the right resources, you get loads of points, and then you get bonuses. It's lots of comboing going on. One thing I do like is, like, you're building this track out, kind of, trying to think what it's like, really. But, like, you should only start with, like, a couple of tiles, rows of tiles already on the board. And then to move your train any further, you need to play a tile from your hands and continue the tracks. They can go all in all sorts of directions and things like that. Bad thing about it is AP is a bugger. If someone's got AP, they will sit there for eternity trying to decide what's the best thing for them to do. Never play this with Dr. Lewis. He will drag the knight down to the point everyone was getting fed up with him. And we were playing five player, so I suggest not even playing five players. Sweet spot is three, maybe four if you've got good fast players. But five and two, not good. I played it with two, is all right. It's quick, but yeah, nothing to it then. Another thing I really like, you get these player powers, so on your turn you can buy player powers with the goods you've already got, and they just kind of open up a world of extra choices for you to do. One thing I like about this is if you buy a player power, someone actually could buy that player power off of you with the same resources that you used to buy it with, but also they have to give you an extra resource in return, so you can monopolize on it a bit using that. Thing is, no one's ever bought any powers off of people in the games I've played, so I don't know if it really works that way. So yeah, it's good. The Sam will hate it because colour blindness will be a biatch in it. They're using pastel tone trains and fixings. And then last night I was playing as orange. It's kind of a faded orange. And the guy I was with playing with green. And at some point I didn't even know where his trains were. They were so blended in with the board. It was unbelievable.
And that's like, for someone without colour blindness.
Yes, I'm not colour blind. I'm perfect in some sort of way. And yeah, I was just looking at the boss, where's your pieces gone? And then I got closer and closer. Oh, there they are. They're green. That's why. So it's not great. And I don't know why companies still insist on using pastel colours and not really making it colourblind friendly, or even stop it blending in with the background. Come on, guys, sort your act out. So that's Whistle Stop. If you like pick up and deliver, simple game, could be good with a family. That's it. If you're colourblindness, forget about it. Downforce. So this is my review. You can go and read more about it. It is awesome. I love Downforce. It's really simple. It's really quick. Actually, really quick to point. You could have this as a filler game to start the night, to end the night. It takes six players. The components are great, except for you get a pad of paper to score down. And when six players are playing, that pad of paper will be gone. So I suggest if you get it, laminate six sheets and put some dry markers in there, which I've done. It just helps. And sleeve your cards, because they will get used a lot. But it's awesome, quick racing. It is, feels like you're really racing. You can get in the way of each other, and it's just fun. So read more about my review, not this cut down version. And then last of all, Flip Ships. Just got around to playing this, just picked this up from Christoph again, and another awesome dexterity game. You are playing Space Invaders with this game. It's these loads of ships on cards are coming down from the top end, and you've got this big mothership at the top of the board, or top of the table. That's a big bucket, and you are trying to flick, literally flick and flip these ships, like pod kind of shape discs, into the getting to land on these ships coming down, or into the mothership to take it, make it take damage. Technically, it is a challenge to get it right at first, but once you get it and you work out how to flick these discs, it is awesome. It's one of those stand-up moments of like, once you finally beat all the ships and you've defeated the mothership, taken all the hit points off, you're like standing in celebration because it's brilliant. And there's powers. You get powers for your ships, which makes it even better. So this is a great game. It's a good little price. Nice small box. So yeah, that's Flip Ships.
Whew. Yeah, that's on my list to try. I've nearly picked it up a couple of times and managed to resist, but yeah, it looks lovely. Yeah,
it is good. Artwork's great. Components are great. So yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Right. Kickstarters.
Let's hit those Kickstarters.
We already got two, and then we're out of it. So. Do you want to do this one? I need a rest.
Get your breath back. Yeah, so it's the second printing of Seventh Continent. Now, Seventh Continent, for those that didn't realise or didn't know, it was a game that hit Kickstarter 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
I actually got a demo of it at Essen in 2015, which was just before the Kickstarter launched. And I backed it and then reversed my pledge at the last minute, because it was quite an expensive game. And I regret it every day since that project ended, and I regret it even more now, because it seems like, despite all the games that have come out, and Tom Vessel, for instance, has said, oh, this is the best game of the year, this is the best game of the year. He said it about Near and Far and Gloomhaven and everything else. He's now said it about Seventh Continent. It's like, oh, God. Paul Grogan from Gaming Rules, he's loving it as well, and everyone's talking about it. Everyone's talking about it. And so annoyed that I didn't back it. So he's relaunched it for the second time. They've put it back up again. The company's called Serious Pulp. I think they're French.
Yeah.
And it is a game. It's basically an exploration adventure game where the mission is ostensibly a curse. You're a character that's got a certain curse on you, and the idea of the game is to explore the island and discover clues to be able to relieve yourself of that curse.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by exploring the map that you're on, this mysterious seventh continent that you find yourself upon. You do that with these the terrain cards, which are essentially squares that you lay orthogonal. So you kind of create the map of the island, and you follow the various clues. It's got that kind of choose your own adventure-y style vibe to it. It's very sort of story driven, essentially, where you kind of explore a section, tells you to go to a certain card. So you flip through the thing, find the card in the box, place that down or read what it says. So it's kind of a bit of a mystery solving sort of almost like an escape room type situation as well. But it is massive. There are, I think it's over 1,000 cards.
Something like that. Probably
which
more.
Is insane. Like I said, we had a demo of it back in Essen, and I was like, yeah, I like this. And it was me, Christoph, and my brother-in-law's brother, Marnix. He both myself and he backed it. So did Rahir, my brother-in-law, who wasn't there, but then heard about it from his brother, and he backed it. So I thought, well, I don't need to back it now, so I pulled my pledge. That's why I did it. I regret it, because it looks amazing. And it's just a really awesome looking game. I mean, the artwork is fabulous, the box is amazing. Graphically speaking, it's everything. But it sounds like the gameplay holds up to that level as well. I mean, the thing I like about it as well is that it's got these little aspects where you can find tiny, subtle clues in the artwork of the cards. You might be looking for a particular type of plant, or you might be looking for a footprint, or whatever it might be. You know, I don't know if that's what it is, but that's the sort of thing you're looking for. You know, very small and very, you know, subtle in the artwork. Which might lead you to go, I'm going to go there and look at that, or it might be this way, or whatever. So I love the idea of that, and I think it might be one of the few games I would actually play myself. you know, solo, because you can play solo or with up to four players. From all the reviews or all the reports I've been hearing, it sounds like it's best at one or two. Three or four just gets a bit kind of messy, because essentially it's a bit weird in the sense that you play it, there's no turns, you're just freewheeling. So you might go, I'm going to go over here and do this, and it's not like, mm-hmm. Oh, now it's Joel's turn, and then now it's Dave's turn, and then you literally go, right, you come over in here and help me, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do, you know, so you can basically have, you're basically just running amok and doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so essentially it does feel like it's a solo game being played, you know, collaboratively, if you like. So I might just play it myself. I've backed it today, and I've backed it at the full whammy. So
I don't think there's a choice, really. It was either get the expansion, get the upgrade, or back the whole lot to get everything. Yeah.
The pledge levels you've got, there's the what's called the veteran, which is basically the two new curses, which and a few sort of changes for the people that have got the first version of the game. And then you've got the survivor one, which is just the base game. It's only the base game, doesn't include any of the stretch goals for this Kickstarter campaign. It's basically what you would have got if you'd backed the base game from the first campaign.
Right.
And then you've got the rookie, which is the one I've had to go for, because that's the one that comes with the base game and all the extras from both that campaign and this one, all the stretch goals and extra cards and gubbins. The one thing to bear in mind with this game as well is that it will almost certainly not make it to retail just because of the cost of developing the game. They've been very open about that, both in the first campaign and in this one, that essentially this is, if you want it, this is the only place you're going to be able to get it, which is why I went for it, because I want it, damn it. I would have got it in retail if it had been a retail package, but it's not going to be by the look of things. So if you want it, you've got to get it now. Just to let everyone know, if you do want to back it and get the lot, my pledge level is currently at $160, and that's without the three additional curses that came as extras in the first campaign, which they're going to add as add-ons to this one eventually. They haven't done it yet, but I'm expecting my pledge to go over $200 when that comes in. So,
wow.
bit pricey. I mean, to be fair, I've added, there's a couple of add-ons that you can have. There's an extra sort of small curse. Can't remember what it's called now. I'm trying to whiz down the page and find it.
Facing the Elements, which
Facing the Elements, expense. That's the one. Yeah, Facing the Elements, which is an extra one. And then I've also ordered the Bone Dice and Bag. So you basically got these dice that are kind of like, they look like they've been carved from dice. Yeah, it's a bag. I've got to have the bag. I haven't gone for the card sleeves. They do a package where you can get sleeves for all of your cards. And because there are so many cards, it's $69 to get all the sleeves.
What? Oh, yeah. Blimey.
So, yeah, if you wanted the lot, it would be over $300, basically. So yeah, I'm not going to do that. But
you'll spend a week putting it all on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like the yeah. It's currently, just to give you the stats for the thing. It's currently running at over $2.5 million. And
which, for a game that raised, what was it, so much the first time? It'd be here somewhere.
I think was it about a million last time? No, it was over 100,000. I don't think it was massive, was it?
No, it was lots. It was getting into the millions as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't think it made it up that far.
Too creative.
Oh yeah, 1.2 million. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
So for a game that first edition came out and raised 1.2 million the first time, and then come around a second time, now raised nearly 2.5 million. That's just unbelievable. It's unthinkable.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
Bear in mind that you also won't get this until earliest of March. It comes in two waves. I think you get the base game, so for me, for instance, backing to get the base game and the extra stuff, I'll get the base game in March, in theory, and then the extra stuff, the new stuff, all comes through in October next year. There's a bit of a split kind of thing, a little bit like, what was that thing? Kingdom Death Monster.
Yeah.
They kind of did it a little bit like that, where they kind of released things in a couple of waves just to kind of keep people happy a little bit. That's something to bear in mind. But, I mean, it does sound like it's... I'd urge anyone to go and have a look at some of the review videos, like Tom Vassell's review and stuff like that. I can vouch for the gameplay from having played that demo. We sat for about an hour and played it, and it is very simple. It's got this very sort of simple save mechanic, essentially, where you don't have to play the whole thing outright. It's got a much easier save mechanic than the likes of Time Stories, for instance, where you literally just kind of put all the cards in the right order and put them in the front of the box. Job done. When you come out, lay it all out again, you're ready to go. It works really well. Works really well. So I'm looking forward to picking that up, and may well just do it myself. And apparently, from what you can, the other thing that's come out is that you can, people can easily sort of drop in and drop out a little bit. So it's like a drop in sort of share multiplayer type thing. So you play solo, and then someone else can just come along and help out, because there are no turns. There's no, all they do is they get a character and they can start moving around and getting items and stuff as well, and help solve the mysteries. So so it feels like it's a better fit for me with, we've got all these giant campaign games. We've got Gloomhaven, which we're struggling to get played.
That's not because it's a bad game. It's just a pain in the ass to try and organise getting it together.
Exactly.
So want to continue. Then we're saying, we can do these dates. Someone comes, I can't do that date.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's the trouble, because you've got to play with the same people, because by necessity. And you're beholden to finding a date that everyone can do, isn't it? Especially when everyone's coming from different places and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If we all live next door, it'd be somewhat easier, I'd imagine.
Oh.
So it's a great game, and I want to play it. And now it's going to sit there. We'll get to it, but
we will. Yeah. We have to.
I've made the internet now, and we still haven't seen it. And then I've also got two RPG sessions going. I've got my own D&D one, which I'm running for some friends, and I've become a player in a Star Trek RPG one. That's three campaign games. So I've got Time Stories potentially if I wanted to do the new ones of those.
That's dead. That's got to be dead.
It's the same thing that happens all the time. Yeah, and I've got Near and Far as well to finish with Joe and Rich. Hi, Joe and Rich. So I've just got so many campaign games. And Seventh Continent's another one of those, potentially. But I like the fact there that I can go, right, screw it, I'm just going to play a couple hours myself. And then if someone else comes along, we can go, do you want to fancy it? I like the idea that they can drop in and drop out, and it doesn't matter too much, other than following the narrative, I guess. But yeah, so anyway, we've done that to death. So have a look at Seventh Continent on Kickstarter. Very expensive,
I just want to add in, I said I was in the same boat as Sam. I was backing it all the way. Trouble with me was I was also back in Scythe.
Oh, that's right. That was at the same time, wasn't it?
And I had that. I got $200 going out, way over $200 going out here. Can I really put this to the wife and say, I spent this much on games on Kickstarter? No. So something had to give. And I wish I'd stuck with Seventh Continent, but then I did get Scythe and sell it off actually for more than I paid for it.
But it shows how bad a judge of Kickstarters I am, because all the games that I've gone, I'm going to pledge for that, and then backed out of, they've ended up being
good ones.
I could have funded. They were really good, and I'd have either kept them or sold them for a good profit. And all the ones I've backed, I basically get rid of at half the price I paid for it.
I'm not that lucky all the time with my Kickstarters, but
So, this one's great. I'm not missing out on it again. And the fact it's not going to come to retail, it means it's worth having a look at.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to select it, come to retail and buy it like that. But now it's not. I'm like, got to do it. And you get a goat. You've always got to have a goat.
A goat? I don't remember the goat.
There's a goat in there somewhere.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a friendly companion that follows you around.
Oh, awesome. I didn't know that. I do like the pledge I got. I think all the pledges have got it, actually, to be fair. Oh, apart from the Survivor one, the base game one. But there's a satchel, like a leather folder, with the Seventh Continent embossed on it. And basically you can use that as your saving mechanic, essentially. So you can put all your items and things into the satchel binder journal book leather bound thing. And that's pretty cool. I like that. Anyway, that's enough.
Let's move on.
Yeah, next.
Next, Dice Hospital, a 1-4 player game, roll, treat, discharge. This is from Alley Cat Games. So this is actually a British game, and it looks actually really good for a British designed game. To note, the artist that done the artwork is the same artist that does Quadropolis. So that's why it looks really nice and touchy. So what is Dice Hospital? It is basically you treating dice Dice will come into your hospital. They will have a rating of either 1, which is they're dead, or up to 6, which they're fully healthy, but they usually come in between 2 and 5. And you minister them in, you put them into wards, and then you will work a place your workers out into hospital areas, and then try and treat dice by moving the pips up so they're fully treated, and then you can put them in the discharge area, which if you can discharge so many dice at 1, you'll get so many points. So it's a Euro game where you're trying to administer and discharge loads of patients at once, or loads of dice at once, to get the max, like, loads of points out of it. It looks really good. The artwork looks wonderful. The stuff they're doing it for, it looks great. You can get a standard pledge level, so this is be retail, but you will get the stretch goals into it. Of I've got the wrong one, £36, plus it's £6 shipping, I think, to us. £8 shipping. So you get the stretch goals, you get the standard game, you're getting custom meeples and lots of dice and lots of stuff going on. But you can also get a deluxe edition, so it'd be the standard box, and you get 5 3D hospital miniatures, ambulance miniatures, sorry, which are what the dice go into when they're pulled out of the bag and rolled. And so you get those, you get some more tiles, you get a experimental chemist mini expansion, wooden tokens for blood and fatality tokens, and you get a build your own chipboard dice tower, hospital dice tower, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. You're backing this as well, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I wanted to get a demo of it at the UK Games Expo. I actually traded something with Caesar, who's the MD or whatever for Alley Cat Games. I didn't get a chance to play, but I had a chat with him, and he sounded like the playtests and everything were going really well there, and everyone was enjoying it. And I love the idea. I still love the idea of a medical themed game, and I've had a couple different ones, and I had two different ones, and I didn't play either of them. I got them mainly to try and convince Megan to kind of join in because she's a nurse. And I thought it might just, but the last thing she wants to be doing is anything medical as a fun thing. So I've learned that lesson, but I still like the idea of the medical. I still think it's an underused theme for games. And when it has been done, it's not been terrifically well done. So that's why this one kind of looked good. And I love dice manipulation games. And little tableau builders and stuff, which is what this essentially is. And I thought, and the artwork's really good. It's got the co-designer is Mike Nudd, who did Waggle Dance, which I really love as well, another dice manipulation style game. I couldn't help myself, quite honestly. I mean, now I've backed Seventh Continent, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to afford. I've gone for the deluxe edition, obviously, which is another 60 odd quid, basically. So if I keep them both next, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be splurging out close to 250 quid, which I could do without spending with a big expensive house extension to build. But, you know, it's the only games I've come close to backing for a while on Kickstarter now, so I don't know. I might hold on to it. I don't know. But yeah, it does look really nice, and the gameplay looks good. One of the criticisms I have seen is that it's a little bit multiplayer solitaire.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of interaction between the players. The only real interaction is beating people to get the dice that you want from the ambulances, because the idea in the theme is that the ambulances arrive carrying the patients, and each player picks one of the ambulances to admit patients. You get more points for the lower
and then there's a drafting for hospital upgrade tiles in people, so
yeah, so you could beat people to the punch a little bit on some of those things.
It's just the same. There's quite a like Roll for Galaxy and other games like that. It's very solitaire until there's a little bit of interaction, but I don't mind that. I quite like the look of it. Funny thing is Dr. Lewis was designing his own game based on hospital theming with dice going on, and he brought down a test of it for us, and it was real basic, kind of on cardboard and stuff like that, and we played it, and we played it for 2 hours, and he scored 1 point, and I think it was like first to five. And I was like, I think there's something slightly janky about this, that it's taking 2 hours to get the first point. He goes, yeah, I think it needs some work. So, and then it is, I think he's been working on it since, because we were giving him ideas of what else, what he could do and things like that. And it was similar, but we were like working on the dice were the workers, and the higher the pips on the dice, the better the worker was, kind of thing, and things like that. And it would work a placement like that, but. Yeah, I think now this might have blown his idea out of the water. I don't know. He might still carry on.
Yeah, there's always room. I still think there's a lot of room in the theme for stuff. So you never know. I mean, the other interesting thing about this project as well is that it's Alleycat Games have produced two games, and Caesar himself, I think, is the designer of the previous two. So one was Lab Wars, and the other was Cauldron Master.
Right.
That was released this year, and then Lab Wars was last year or year before, maybe.
Yeah.
Neither of which were massively popular via Dice Tower. I think from memory, Tom really didn't like Lab Wars very much. but in a similar kind of way to Peter Blenkarn from Inside the Box, he designed and self-published a couple via his own company, a bit like Caesar's done with Alleycat, and now they're publishing other people's games. So it's interesting to see both have kind of gone the same kind of way, where Alleycat are now publishing someone else's design that they've picked up and are running with. But it looks to me like they've gone about it in exactly the right way. They've got a top-grade game artist on board.
Yeah.
They've got a good co-designer signed up to help polish and bring up the, you know, to sort of polish the edges, if you like, of the design. I'm going to quickly double-check what the name of the actual sort of main designer is, because it doesn't actually say anywhere particularly.
Why are you doing that? I do love, if you look on the rooms, that... In the rooms, they've got like the layout of the room or what it is, depicting what it is, and then on the beds or on the chairs or that, it's just dice. So not hiding away from the fact that dice are the patients, they're still carrying it on into the rooms, kind of thing. So you're treating dice.
Yeah, I like the way they've done that. Yeah, I love the way they've kind of they've run with the theme nicely. Even on the cover, where you've got Dice Hospital, there's like a little hospital. Sort of thing, but it's actually looks like a dice as well, so it's really nicely done. The graphic design's been done really nicely. So the actual kind of the core designer of the game is a guy called Stanislav Kordonsky, and it says that he came up with the original concept, and he called it Stat at the time, which if you've ever watched ER, then you'll know that's the kind of bogus medical term they used then. But Alleycat brought on board Mike Nudd to just help sort of bring the game through to fruition. So and the artist, if you wanted to know her name, is Sabrina Miramont. Yeah, really good. I'm gonna stick with it, I think. We'll see. The other thing that's interesting to know is that I've just noticed at the bottom, the last member of the Alleycat Games team is also Brett Gilbert,
it is Elysium.
He designed Elysium. They've got some genuine talent in that little group now, which is good to see. So I'll be not only interested to see how this one pans out, but also what they've got coming up as well. So the stats quickly for this one, it's currently got 28 days left to go, so best part of a month to go if you want to interested. And they were after £12,750, and they're running at 77,500 at the moment.
Just scraping through, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I think that's got to count as a big success for Alleycat. They're a very, very small, company. So, good work for them. Looks like it will go easily over the 100,000 mark, maybe a bit more. In terms of stretch goals, they've unlocked quite a few different ones. So most of it's kind of upgraded material and stuff like that. But they've now unlocked the custom. Well, they're heading towards upgraded cardstock and custom plastic insert, which would be nice. And then they've promised something really interesting for 100,000, so it'll be interesting to see what that is. I think they'll get there. Good, worth a look if you like dice manipulation, tile placement-y, tableau building type things. Then it's worth a look.
Cool. Right, so we're going to quickly get out of here and get back to our wives before we are divorced. So let's close out the show. This has been episode 38 of Devon Dice, the podcast. From all of us on the show, we'd like to thank you for listening. And if you'd like to know more about the games and items discussed on the show, check out the show notes of the episode, where there hopefully be links linking you to them. And you can purchase them and spend all your money too. Thank you to Meeple's Corner for sponsoring this show, and credit goes to bensound.com for some of the music used.
If you'd like to have a chat with us, you can find us on Facebook, where we've got a page called Devon Dice Presents. You can also find us on Twitter at Devon Dice UK. And we did actually have some activity on the board game Geek Guild.
Thanks, Nick.
So you obviously felt it was his due after winning a prize to come and say hello. And thanks for trying to spur on some conversation. We'd love it if some more did that too. If any of you are on Board Game Geek, come by and say hello. We are guild number 2414.
Don't forget our blogging site, devondice.co.uk, and subscribe to the newsletter. Check out the new reviews going up. I have been your host, Joel Wright, and you can find me on Twitter and Board Game Geek as Depressed Monkey.
I've been Sam Freeman. You can find me on Twitter at Spoon of Milk, or BGG as El Duderino. Join us for episode
40
out later in the month, and a special on Essen, where we'll get to hear about all the fun that Joel's had at, and we'll give you a run.
There's a preview.
Oh, it's a preview. Are you sure we're going to be able to record it before Essen?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have a special on Essen, and then we'll have another one afterwards where he gets to tell us all about it. Yeah. And Joel and Lewis will be releasing another Unhinged before the end of the month.
Yes, that'll probably be more Essen. It's going to be Essen packed. So you'll be sick of it by then. Yeah. We have been your hosts for Devon Dice, the podcast. Goodbye, and remember, Just remember something.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to put need to put something in there next. No, I'm going to come up with something good for the next one. Right. Nice new one.
So is that started?
Not yet. It's meant to start early November, but emailed the builder today, and he's got a delay on his current job, so it's going to have a knock-on effect on ours. So it's just like,
typical.
Yeah. That's what happens. Right, new audio file, multi-track session audio file. Let's try that. I better open the script, I suppose, to find out what we're talking about.
Could be helpful. Can it still be brought? Is there still stuff available?
Right, what are we doing?
Yeah, still available. Not selling out that quickly.
What has happened to Devon Dice Podcast 36?
Didn't do one. I skipped it. I was looking at the countdown thing on the feed. I was like, "Hey, where's 36 gone?" Oh, we didn't do one. The mid month last week, I completely forgot. And then I was like, "I was not yet. We're all right." And then I looked at, "Oh no, we've missed it." Oh. Can I be bothered to do one? No, I've got something to do. And then it was like, I messaged Lewis. I said, "You around tonight? We got to do the Unhinged." He was like, "No, not tonight." And then I looked at kind of, "Oh no, I'm a week early on that." So, so I was like, "Can you do next week? It's fine next week." He goes, "Yeah, I can do next week."
Why hasn't Chris got a link to his blog on his website? No wonder no one reads the bloody thing.
Yeah, it does.
No, I thought he did. It's not there at the moment. It's got Meeple Night 1 this week.
Yeah.
First one in the shop.
Going for it?
No, I've got The Office Christmas Party for 2016.
A year later.
Yep.
Is that your Office Christmas Party, is it?
Yeah.
Just the two of you out on the lash.
No, we got two staff now.
Oh yeah,
so we've got to treat him to Christmas.
I think you're out of luck there. Hello.
I can hear you. You cut out again.
Skype is being a pain in the ass tonight, isn't it?
Yo.
Yeah.